You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies.
This is AfterBuzz TV's House of Cards After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show.
It's AfterBuzz TV's House of Cards After Show.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to the second season, 12th episode of Netflix original series House of Cards, episode entitled Chapter 25. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me today is...
Hey everyone, I'm Sophia Stanley.
Hey guys, Emma Kane.
You guys. Things are getting a little hairy, and I am so proud, better late than never, of Garrett Walker. He has the instincts. He's always had the instincts, like I said, and he's finally shown by actually, and now that I think about it, it just hits me, he kind of actually drew Frank in.
Oh, beyond.
To a meeting. And Frank had no idea which direction I was thrown. Mm-hmm. You know, he talks about Floyd Mayweather.
Well,
it was just there at the office.
But even before that, just the fact that the punching bag was back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But go ahead.
Exactly. He brought the punching bag back. Talks about Floyd Mayweather visiting the office. And you think that they're having a buddy-buddy moment. And then he hits Frank over with a left hook that he didn't even see coming. I don't think any of us saw that coming. Mm-hmm. This guy is wise to Frank. Finally, I was like, oh, my gosh. Finally, he's finally said something, and his instincts are right, as we know. He's put all the pieces of the puzzle together. When he looks back on it, he mentions the special prosecutor. He looks at the back channeling of the whole China deal. He can see that Frank was behind everything, but now he's, like, cornered. And he said, this office breeds paranoia, blah, blah, blah. Frank is, this guy's a mastermind when it comes to words and knowing what to say when. That's how he manipulates. So he's really good at it. But Garrett is pretty much like, cut the crap. Like, I'm not trying to hear it. And if I see you again, I'm going to lay you on your GD back. Mm-hmm. How did you guys feel at that moment when that was happening? Like,
I mean, I think you described it perfectly. I mean, I think that I was pulled in just as Frank was. I thought to myself, here we go again. You know, Walker is bringing him into his inner circle, joking with him when there are serious matters at hand. And I liked the way that he literally set him up and stated how Floyd fights. And basically was like, does that sound familiar?
Right.
And you could literally see that Frank had a moment where I was actually amazed that Frank didn't address us. Right? Because the whole concept of Frank breaking the fourth wall, I did some research about it, and I don't know if this is true or not, but a lot of people say it's very Shakespearean.
Right?
So it's almost that it's more of a play, and you're talking to the audience, and the audience actually responds. And at that moment, I really thought he was going to be like, whoa, didn't see that coming, because I really didn't see it coming, you know? But I really liked it, and I like how Garrett literally and figuratively stepped to him, stepped in his space, and basically told him, I'm the president of the United States of America. Don't ever forget it. And I will demolish you if you basically don't hide under a rock until everything smooths over.
Right. Go ahead, Emma.
Well, I was going to say I agree with both of you, but at the same time, you can't help but think, you know, aren't you kind of too late? You've set back and take the back seat for how long? And even though, yes, you have it figured out, but to me, how he came across was disappointing, because if you had all those instincts, you should have said something from the beginning, because you do recognize that, you know, he had all this planned out, which you had instincts about and you didn't act on it. But you're accusing someone of wanting to run against you in 2016. What's so wrong, you know, with that? Every American's dream is to be the president of the United States. So there's nothing wrong with wanting that.
Right. Well, as Frank said, no sitting vice president has ever ran against an incumbent or elect. That is never been done. And, you know, but at least Garrett was wise enough to know, Frank, you don't do things
like
ordinary people do it. So it doesn't matter if no one's ever done it. You're the kind of person who would be the first person to do something like that.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that I respected him for saying it, but I didn't respect him at the same time because it's like it's a little too late.
No, and I agree with you. I think, though, the funny thing is, I mean, I agree with you because I think we all kind of share a lack of respect for him in terms of his lack of strategy or being aware of what's going on around him. Mm-hmm. However, I think that what's endemic of Walker and so many other people is, and I can't remember if this is the name of the poem, but I think it's called The Hangman. Right. Okay. And the basis of the poem is a hangman comes to town and let's say he decides he's going to basically kill and hang everyone who has on a gray shirt. Right. So everyone agrees because the other people don't have a gray shirt. So he basically hangs all the people with the gray shirts. Then he moves on to people with red shirts and he moves on until there's only one person left. And the person basically was like, but I supported you. Like, I didn't say anything while you were basically killing everyone else. And basically the guy says not saying anything is the same as basically hanging them yourselves. And eventually I'm going to come for you. Didn't you see that coming?
The
person really didn't. And I think it's very similar with Frank. There's an aspect of his diabolical nature that people see, but they actually have the hubris to think that he either isn't going to come for them or he can't. And I think that's where Walker comes from. Walker comes from a naivete that, yeah, of course, there's a certain aspect of wrangling, of whipping the votes that he saw in him and realized that he would be a viable vice president and so forth and so on. But he never thought that any of those tactics could be used on him.
Right.
One, because I think he genuinely thought that that they were friends. Mistake number one.
Well,
because
he's the president.
Right.
Which, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. First, he's the president.
And then befriended him later.
And then I think, lastly, there was a certain level of hubris that Walker overestimated his own intelligence in thinking that he would have, in fact, seen it coming. So I think that's why when he actually saw it coming, he had to react as aggressively as he did. And with a lesser man, it would have worked. The problem is with Frank Underwood, it just put Frank on notice. So then Frank basically had to turn up the heat.
Because now the cards are on the table.
Thank you. And he had to evolve and he had to adapt.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if he was smart, he should have played along and played the friendship versus president role and then done what he needed to do because it hurt him out in the public because people are like, hold on a second, the vice president and the president are not talking and they're three doors down from one another. What is going on? What is there that's so major that is causing that, you know, that rivalry between them? You know, is it the back channeling? Is it the, you know, Fang? Is it Tusk? Is it all true? So it puts more, it puts the perception. It proves the perception
still,
that's out there.
He's still, even though he stood up to him, and that's more of satisfaction for us. Go ahead.
The president is, you know, obviously not talking to Frank and going through general counsel to get a message through him. But then Frank is releasing press saying, I support the president 100%, you know, no matter what. He's a loyal man. So who looks...
Well, now he has to.
Well, no, but if it's out there that the president is not talking to the vice president, and then Frank is saying that he fully supports him, who looks bad there?
No, and I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. However, I think that, and what I really like about this show, is that the characters are real and they're organic.
Right.
Walker acted exactly as Walker would. You want to know why? Walker's a straight shooter.
Mm-hmm. He is a
Walker's
straight shooter.
The type of person that for whatever reason, if he had to sell you out, like, so literally let's say I'm going to make you Walker and I'm going to make me Frank, right? And we both get arrested at the same time and they offer you Walker a deal, right? And you have to sell me out.
Right.
Walker would literally tell me beforehand and either give me an option to run, to do something, or at least would just give me the decency to say, hey, I have to sell you out.
Right.
Frank is the exact opposite.
Right.
So basically, that's what Walker was doing. Like, Walker doesn't do back channeling. Walker isn't underhanded. Walker is, like, what you see is what you get. So he basically wasn't even thinking to now strategize. That's why the strategy happened after he talked to Frank.
Right.
Right? Because he really is just kind of like, oh, whoa, you're dishonest. So he goes, you're dishonest. Right. Right? Because he himself is not dishonest. He would never think to basically not to put on a different face.
Right. That makes sense. But for me, when it comes to Garrett, when you have somebody that's that close to you that you realize is being unfaithful, so to speak, yeah. or just stabbing
well
you in
said.
The back,
yeah.
Then it would have behooved him to play and beat Frank at his own game. And that doesn't mean he's not being honest. He could just be himself and just like not let Frank know that he's wise to him, and then take his own stamper or whoever he has in his camp and have them.
The problem is his stamper is Linda.
I know.
We'll talk about that later.
All right. That sucks. Womp womp.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with both of you. I totally agree with both of you.
That would have helped him. It was in line with his character. Mm-hmm. Garrett's character is a straight shooter, and it makes sense that he would confront Frank and tell him, and, you know, it's not just the fact that he found out, it's the fact that he's been befriended. So now it's even more of a pride thing, like as a man, like as a friend, like because they become friends now, right? So now that they're friends, and he's realized that Frank has been like this whole time, it's like it's not business. Even though
exactly.
it's personal for him. And that's another reason why he would confront him. Because if it was all business, I think Garrett would be like, wait, okay. this all smells like Frank. Let me sit back and let me put somebody on this to give me some more information to see what they could find out about what he's up to before I say anything to him. But the fact that now they're friends, that's what pisses that you know, that's why he brought him into the office.
Yeah.
He gave him the punching bag. As a friend, a token of friendship, like if you need a punching bag, I'll be there to support you. I'll be your punching bag. But here's one in the office that doesn't have a mouth as loud as mine to be funny and, you know, to have some kind of build some kind of rapport. That's why he brought it back to that, and that's what pissed him off so much.
And I think also too, sadly, and just piggybacking off of the friendship idea. I think as a friend, there's a small part of him, and it's, again, maybe foreshadowing, but there's a small part of him that wanted to be wrong.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because that's usually, because you know how they say this, and it's kind of, you said it kind of with in terms of being unfaithful. It's kind of similar to a romantic relationship, right?
Right.
They say that there's a difference between you should never be scared if someone's actually fighting with you. You should only be scared when someone doesn't say anything. If you do something wrong and someone doesn't say anything, that's when you should be scared, because that actually means that they don't care and the likelihood is they're about to walk away.
Right.
When you fight, it's because you're actually still emotionally vested and you want answers.
Right.
Usually you want answers because you want someone to fix the scenario.
Right.
Think about it. If you don't want someone to fix it, then there's actually really no point in talking.
Right.
You just leave, you go about your business, and that's theoretically what he should have done. If it was really that he was done with the friendship, he wouldn't have said anything, and he would have gone about his business. If it was about business, he also wouldn't have said anything, because he would have realized that he was playing his hand, pun intended, and then he would have been able to move her more effectively.
Right.
But also, I think to take one step forward and say with, even from the friendship, he felt... he felt played by Frank, and I think he, he did know, but he kind of like got himself in the mess by handing over the travel logs and everything. Frank didn't really force him to do anything. He willingly did everything that, even though, yes, it could have been manipulated by Frank, but he still made the choice and the decision. So he's pissed off that he is where he is because of his choice, even though he knows
that's the art of Frank. That's Frank. Frank will, he knows how to make a certain inflection. He'll suggest a couple of things, but, you know, you can still do this over here.
Yeah.
But the way he's suggesting it really means...
Actually, a special prosecutor is a bad idea.
Right.
Well, but that's why he made all the choices himself.
No, I hear you. So you're basically saying that there's a part of it that Garrett is mad at himself because he still has to take accountability for his actions. And I think that's valid, especially based on his character, because I think he's a man who does take accountability for his own actions, and that's probably why he's so upset.
Because looking back... Frank didn't force him to do anything.
Well, at this point, I mean, he has to take accountability for it, and he's mad at himself, I'm sure, for listening to Frank.
Frank suggested that he was going to give his travel logs.
But I actually have a question, because I think it's actually a little bit past the travel logs. Do you think he had a choice regarding waiving privilege?
That's a question that I had. For some reason, that was a hole to me. You guys could actually let us know out in Cybersphere or give us a call, 424-256-1633, and let us know what you guys think out there. Because as far as I was concerned, I didn't understand why he would have to waive privilege just because – what was the reason again?
Because they leaked the article – do you know what I mean? But then I still kind of was like, okay, I'm still confused. They leaked the article, and then they gave Fang immunity. I don't know if I'm mixing up
the order.
Oh,
that's what it was. No.
Yeah.
It was they gave Fang immunity. Okay. So that in that case, they would have had to – they felt like, well, we have no choice. I'm going to have to waive privilege. And you know why? They probably because – they wanted to make it look like they had nothing to hide.
I think it was more paranoia than anything. I think he did have a choice not to waive the privileges, but I think it was his paranoia of finding out that Claire knows about the drugs, you know, and they could possibly leak it, and it wouldn't be firsthand coming from them, voluntary information.
Right.
You know, he doesn't know what other information they probably have, Frank has on him. So doesn't it look better to come forward and say we've had marital issues than to have it leaked in another story where now the United States of America knows, their kids know, and they didn't get a chance to explain themselves first.
Right.
No, I agree. But did anyone else, because I definitely know for me, I definitely felt that the writers were talking to us.
Right.
More so than any other episode.
Right.
Because think about it. In essence, it really wasn't the international funding of politics, right? It wasn't – that really didn't bring his presidency down.
Right.
It brought down his presidency because he went to marriage counseling and took Xanax.
Well
– but I think what it was is that the public –
it was the money laundering. It was the money laundering.
No, really? But really, was that really what took him down?
No, but it was the fact that he might have been under the influence, and the being under the influence was contributing to him making poor choices.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Okay,
So now as the president, is he competent to make presidential decisions on an executive level? Well, that's what we need, because he's influenced or under the influence of prescription drugs. I think that's what they were trying to infer.
That is completely what they were trying to infer, but I feel like there's two things that, for me, really were alarming. Number one, to me, the special prosecutor. Because when the special prosecutor asked the therapist specifically if he had prescribed medication,
The
therapist specifically asked her, why are you asking me this? Because technically, I'm in here for money laundering, right? So why is, and again... money laundering, and he goes to talk to his therapist. Do you really think he's going to talk to his therapist about money laundering?
Right.
That, to me, was tangential. Like, right. I think that everything that happened is how it would actually happen in real life. But I was like, oh, no, you're really, like, pulling at straws here, right? Then she goes, why are you asking me? And she goes, because I want to know that his state of mind. And he answers, as a medical professional, his state of mind was sound. That should have been the end of the conversation.
Right.
The fact that she kept
his
digging,
faculties were 100%.
It was a witch hunt.
Right.
But do you know what I mean? Go ahead.
She mentions that he's not even a part of your church.
It doesn't matter. That's not the funny thing is, I actually didn't say anything about him being a spiritual advisor. He's still a medical professional. And the question that she asked was, is he sound mentally? Right? And he's a therapist. So as a therapist, he is actually able to say whether or not he's mentally sound. It's different than the spiritual advisor. We can talk about that too, but it's a different point.
Right.
Like, what did you guys think about that? Right. He answered the question, and she was like, no, you didn't answer the question. No, I did, because I asked you, what was your reasoning behind answering the question? Is he sound? And I answered, as a medical professional, that he's mentally sound.
But Garrett is not saying that he went to a therapist. They're putting it more like it was a religious.
No, and I hear you. I hear you. But that actually, that is a different subject, because that's why she was trying to say, you know, they've never attended your church, so forth and so on. That was when she was trying to break privilege. That's why that point was there.
Right.
Privilege is already broken, so that's no longer a factor. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So basically, because it's similar to an attorney-client privilege, the same thing with a spiritual advisor, you have to show that there actually is a relationship, not a tangential relationship like you occasionally go to Easter Sunday to see, you know, the elephants. Well, if you go anywhere in LA, you actually see elephants for Easter service. But if they actually had a history, then it vests that there's a relationship, and then that's valid. She already took that off the table because the president waived privilege. That's no longer an issue. The secondary issue is the validity of him as a therapist, right? And what he knows. The fact of the matter is, she was asking to me about prescription medication. The fact that he asked the question, he answered it, and then she kept going. To me, it was proof of a witch hunt. More so, and to me, I think that's what the writers were showing. Was at the end of the day, we're really not concerned with quote-unquote corruption. We're concerned with the private lives of our politicians.
Right.
So the fact that they were at marriage counseling, now the Republicans go up and they're like, oh, you know, if they're having problems at home, what other problems are they having? If they're breaking the law, they threw that in there, but then they quickly zing with the and on prescription medication. It's prescribed medication.
But not
granted,
to
the
him.
Caveat is, yes, I knew you were going to say that to him. However, it's still not an illicit narcotic.
Right.
Depends on how much you take of it and how it could affect your body.
True, but at the moment, what was leaked is they didn't leak that the prescription wasn't written to him. It's still a prescribed medication under the care of a doctor.
That's another thing. How come they didn't bring up the fact that it wasn't even prescribed to him?
Because at the end of the day, the whole thing was a leak. And that's a whole other issue. Do you think about it? This is literally leaked information that we're all now.
He was actually taking his wife, unless they actually wanted to
do a blood
test.
Do you think it had anything to do with?
No, but they asked. That's even my point. They remember she just asked straight up, and then the doctor must have answered yes.
Yeah.
And didn't even say, like, oh, I actually really wrote it for the wife. Right. They didn't even get that far.
Right.
Do you think it had?
That's illegal too.
Yeah.
So he's breaking all kind of right?
But do you think it had anything to do with the fact that the timelines were the same? The back channeling and everything that was going on was at the same time that they were seeing this so-called therapist.
Let me be very clear. I'm actually not saying that the money laundering is a throwaway. I'm just
saying from where she's coming from. She's trying to find information.
I think the difference is, and this is, I think, this has been a running theme throughout the entire season, but more importantly, the last couple episodes, is the difference between the court of law and the court of public perception.
Right.
In the court of law, she was not fighting the court of law, because that's why I'm specifically saying what I'm saying in terms of the privilege, in terms of the therapist, medical doctor, he answered the question. She was really playing to the court of public perception. And in the court of public perception, all she needs is a big whale, like a big win, to go bam, and we all go, ooh, and she's won.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? No one cares if at the end of the day, and this is the irony of the situation, he didn't do it.
Right.
Nobody, do you know what I mean?
I think
it gets lost
from
the sauce that he actually didn't do anything wrong.
He did it.
But the fact that he goes to see a marriage counselor, we already go, oh, he's guilty. The fact that he's taking prescription medication, guilty. So we actually have a problem with the most powerful man in the United States of America having a little anxiety. And we have a problem with the fact that he deals with it from prescription medication versus too much vodka. Maybe I'm talking about myself, but you get my point.
Bourbon.
Well, a lot of the presidents have smoked cigarettes, and they deal with anxiety like that. So
right, but it just shows something. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
That we don't have a problem with one thing, but somehow something that's perfectly legal, we have a problem with. Why? Because of public perception and the inferences we make off of that.
Right.
So now he literally, because really the inference is he's unstable and he's unfit.
Right.
Because he's on anxiety medication.
I think it's aside from the fact of, you know, medication or what it might be, the fact that Isla, you know, wrote that article and put it out there, and now it's out there to judge. And she,
the article that Frank
about the money laundering and
the
back channeling and all of that.
PACs, yeah.
And it's like it had nothing to do even with going after the big whale. She just has a story, and it's like any investigation or any trial that's going on, they just need someone. So they could close off that case and move forward. Frank is clean. She can't find anything on Frank. So the only person she has left is
not right. And trust me, she's going at, but also she's going to go after Fred.
Oh yeah, and the only thing. Oh yeah. The only thing she has left is Walker. She's the only one that has flaws she could pick on.
True. However, I feel as if, and this is why I think Frank is just, like, unstoppable, I really feel like that press conference was so presidential. And even I watching, even though I knew what was happening, I was like, oh, I'd vote for him again. And I'm like, wait, right. I didn't vote for him in the first place. Right. Like, do you know what I mean? Right. Like, I literally was like, because everything he was saying, he was like, I will not shy away from my humanity.
Right.
Again, the exact opposite of Frank.
Right?
I value my faith and my family.
Right.
Again, opposite to Frank. Frank has no faith. Or let me rephrase it. Frank doesn't believe in a traditional God. He believes in himself, number one. Number two, Frank doesn't believe in what I consider to be the traditional and or the nuclear family. As they've said, they consciously chose to forego a family in pursuit of this thing.
Right.
So I felt like at that moment it was really scary yet telling of showing how here we have this transparent, honest, virtuous president who loves his country, loves his family, and loves God, and we're literally about to demolish him and potentially throw him away.
It's in
favor of literally potentially the devil.
Right.
It's a mirror image of our
right.
Oh, goodness.
It's a mirror image of our current society, and I think the writers are trying to let us know that as much as you may vote for someone, and they said Walker's ratings went up after he gave the press conference, but at the same time, the House got to manipulate everything. So even if us as the voters can vote for someone, at the end of the day, like George Bush, what happens? Florida's vote changed everything, and he won the presidential election. So there is more, you know, that goes on back doors.
Florida's vote changed everything.
That goes on that we don't know about. So, you know, the government controls even who gets to be president or not.
Right, right. I mean, you can look at this administration, even with the Obamas or Barack himself. He had something, I can't remember, his first term he was trying to pass, and basically everything on the table was just based on partisan headbutting, and that was it, or why it wouldn't pass.
Yeah.
It wasn't that the bill wasn't good or the bill was good. It was all about a power struggle, which has nothing to do with the betterment or the service of the people. The one thing I do like about this show is it makes you reflect, and if these politicians, these elected officials have been placed there to serve the people, then if you realize these kinds of things are going on, this is one of the points that I think the show is, at least for me, to help people get off their butt. I think I've said it before, get off their butt and get more involved and figure out and learn what's going on in government, because you have a lot of things that are going on. Like, Frank, to me, his goal is not to serve the people. You know, obviously, his goal is to serve Frank and Claire and his own personal legacy, and to be this person of power and, prestige, and to have just left this memory in history and be part of history. You know, everybody has a different motivation. A lot of politicians, their motivation is money related, because if you're the controlling bills and controlling laws, then you can control what's legal and what's not legal. Like, something that was illegal last year, we can pass this bill and make it legal now. And
literally,
now we can get away with
literally
it. So and it's really funny, because it's like what's the congresswoman? She's either a senator or a congresswoman. She got pulled over last year, I believe. She got pulled over for talking on her cell phone when she helped pass the bill in her state. She got pulled over and got ticketed for talking on her cell phone while she was driving. It was really hilarious, but she probably is not thinking about it like that, because people have some, like, what is the true motivation? Not saying she had a bad motive, because it's really bad to talk and drive.
But ironically, though, that actually is an example, ironically, of someone who actually is serving the people. Because to me, you should serve for the betterment of the people regardless of what you do, right?
Exactly.
So, for instance, like, you know, if the speed limit is 55 and all the studies show that that helps people not get into accidents, then if I'm a politician, that's what I should pass, regardless of the fact that I don't drive 55.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's only when we make it kind of personal.
And if I do
only,
it'll ticket me too.
Right, exactly. Right. I should be ticketed. And it's only, I think the problem is that when people do things solely for their self-interest. So whatever they kind of individually and personally believe, even if it's counter to the betterment of the populace, that's wrong.
Right.
Because that really, in essence, is a dictator.
Well, I think that's what Frank is trying to do.
I couldn't help myself.
I think Frank is a dictator. Okay? Frank Underwood is something else, this guy. And we see how he manipulated the whole thing. This dude is so calculating. It's almost like when he got put out on that island, and when Garrett confronted him, you saw him walk towards the camera, and he did break the fourth wall. He looked at us. Like, okay, how am I going to turn back around again? Because he wasn't expecting it. He was thrown off, and he said, I'm sorry, you can't bob. You're not quite as quick. You can't bob and weave like Floyd. I'm sorry.
He's like, I've learned your moves.
Yeah, I've learned your moves, right? So he says, I've managed to isolate him from everybody, including myself. But what's really funny is when Frank leaves the office, he has a look. He's speaking to us, and you think, wow, what am I going to do? The next scene, he's like, Durant. So this is what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah.
I think
he's reeled her in. That's why he's got hocus pocus, this guy.
He just
puts his mojo on everybody.
But Frank's plan, you know, on 180 miles per hour, before it was probably going on 100 miles per hour, now it's like at 200 miles per hour.
Right.
So, you know, Walker just, I think, shot himself in the foot.
Well, this is what Frank does. Frank will allude to doing something right, but it's all for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, Secretary of State, okay, get admission out of Fang and just give him asylum, right? But immunity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he knows he's doing it because it's going to make Garrett look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it's going to put him in a corner, and he's going to have to wave his privilege for everything, this and this and that. And they already, two episodes ago, spoke about the travel logs. I mean, this was all thought out ahead of, you know, he's like two or three steps ahead of everybody. I mean, you got to appreciate that he's
And not only that is, and I think this is why, like, I like how he's starting to build things. Because to me, he literally goes, he goes, after, you know, the incident with Walker, he basically goes to Durant and the reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
The reason being is now I think he's going to people that he actually respects in a weird way. And I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
So with Durant, he goes to her because he knows that she has enough intelligence to actually see through him.
Yeah.
So it's basically like, oh, crap. Like, I know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I know what he's done. So which side of this do I want to be on?
Right.
And the funny thing is, the way that he literally and figuratively danced with her in that moment, having the conversation about how he danced with her.
With the waltz.
It was a sign of respect. It was literally like, I have enough respect for you, I'm actually not going to punch you. Because other people, you kind of be like, yo, wake up.
Yeah.
That's not what he did.
Right.
He was like, yo. He's like, because he actually respects her.
Right.
Because everything he's saying about her, he really thinks she is a good Secretary of State.
Yeah.
With the reporter, and the only reason I'm not saying her first name is I don't want to pronounce it incorrectly.
Isla.
It is Isla.
It's the same thing. He respects her as a journalist. And that's why when he leans into her and says what he says about Garrett, she gets confused. Because she's like, oh, crap, this politician, I could feel he was lying to me.
Mm-hmm.
I could feel the facade. But at that moment, why do I feel like he's being honest? Because the irony is, he was. He really does think that Garrett is virtuous and loyal and patriotic and all those things.
But he is.
He also thinks he's
that's
stupid
the funny
and
part
weak.
About it. Right.
But he, and think about it, that's what Frank always does. When Frank is being real, Frank leans in.
Right.
And that's what he did to her and basically, in essence, totally threw her off.
Right.
Because that was the lasting moment that she thought, oh, I got a truthful interview with him. And basically, that's what she printed. VP supports the president.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he played her too, because he starts off by talking about perception and how, you know, what she reports, enough of it, if it's heard and reported, perception becomes reality.
Right.
So, you know, yes, she believed him, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, are you that stupid? You know, he just opened up with perception and he's making you his mouthpiece to make everyone believe that he's in full support of the president.
Well, the look on her face when he started speaking, I felt like she had a realization, like, oh my gosh, he's the devil. That's how I felt, because she's really, really intelligent, mm-hmm, this exactly, one here, right? I felt like she had a realization, because she knows that the vice president can't be on the up and up with all this stuff. So now he's giving me this, and it was so over the top. He was the most loyal, patriotic. Mm-hmm. What? She's looking at him, and the way he says it and how he does it in such a manner, I think she had a realization, like, oh no, something's wrong. Something's up with this guy. I think she had that realization. And I think in the future, we're going to watch Frank deal with Dunbar and this reporter. They're going to be his Achilles heel.
She's going to stop at Tusk or Fang. You know, investigation, not Dunbar's, Isla's, is going to continue on,
right,
and to corruption within the White House.
I mean, if you look at Tusk is, he's lost all his leverage because of the Fang situation.
Oh, completely. And, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead,
but
Sophia.
But this is the thing, but this is why I think that Frank is like, oh my God, I think I'm like, the cult is drawing me in. No, he's brilliant. Think about it. The president actually didn't do anything wrong. So by Frank stating, literally in written print, right, in one of the most recognized newspapers in the world, no matter whether it's a month from now, 6 months from now, or 10 years from now, it's in writing that he sided with the person who was right.
Right. That's true.
Do you know what I mean? That's why he needed to say it. Do you know what I mean? He literally was like, oh, no, and I know he's innocent. Because it's true.
Yeah.
He actually knows he's innocent.
Yeah, he does
know.
Who
would even fathom that the person who set somebody up would be their biggest advocate? You would never, ever think that someone would be going so hard in the paint. Because arguably, from a political strategist perspective, you are thinking that no matter what, just like you said, and everyone potentially wants to be president of the United States of America, right? So you're thinking by siding so adamantly and so publicly with a money launderer, a potential drug addict. I'm taking it there. I'm, you know, exaggerating.
Of course, but that's what the media tends to do.
Bad marriage, bad husband, whatever the case may be, bad president. It's going to affect you, right? Because it's potentially going to affect you, what, in potentially 2 years, let alone for the remainder of the presidency. But no, Frank does the exact opposite. It's literally like doing bad right in plain sight. You never think someone is doing bad. Right. You never think it.
That's true. It's really funny. Speaking of public perception, this is why Claire ends up pulling the bill.
Mm.
Now, she pulls and withdraws the bill. Because poor Megan Hennessy got chewed up on MSNBC.
No, she got chewed up by Jackie.
Megan.
Yeah, right? I know, but I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Jackie was speaking to her.
Yes, Megan was speaking to her. Yeah. No, Jackie, Jackie calls in and chews up Megan Hennessy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, like, I thought she'd be able to handle herself better than that, but this girl is not a politician.
Yeah.
She's just doing interviews and fighting the good fight,
mm-hmm.
Obviously. So Jackie is not one to be messed with either, as we can see. And Claire has to recognize when she has a formidable opponent. It's like, I put somebody there that's like us, but she might be a little too much like you guys. She has a mind of her own. She's got a backbone. She's strong. And she's not stupid. Not even close. This is somebody who gets tattoos because they like the pain. You know, just because they like the pain, I guess.
But do you think that's a bad thing, that she has a mind of her own and she's too much like them? Or is that a good thing? Because in the long run, it can't put that separation between them, that the decisions she makes are going to be her own and it's not going to come to Frank. But at the end of the day, her loyalty still lies with Frank.
But we were only aware of that at the end of the episode. So, for instance, as it was happening, I didn't think it was going to go that way.
Right.
Because think about it. Every other conversation, she's been so adamant she's not Frank, right? As well as the fact that, to me, part of the reason that they give her, in my mind, the military backstory is to show that she is a formidable opponent, right? And she only takes direction from someone that she fully respects as up the hierarchical chain.
Right.
Go ahead.
I really feel like she is a lot like them. But at the same time, she's got her own agenda. She has her own plan, and if you look at how everything has gone since she's been in office, after she got acclimated to the position and got comfortable to being where she was, she set up her own strategy for everything that she was going to do. Even when Frank was like, "I need this done," blah blah blah. That was like in the very, very beginning because she was new. She wasn't planning on being in leadership for another 8 to 10 years or trying to run for it, right? So now that she's there.
And can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that when she said that to Frank, it was self-deprecating condescension. She didn't really mean that. She was doing like Frank does. So when Frank, fast forward to the beginning of the season, when Frank asked her, like, where do you see yourself in 8 to whatever, and she's like, oh, in 8 to 10 years, I think about your job. She was being self-deprecating and slightly condescending.
She was
playing him, just like how Frank does. So Frank goes, I would never think to be president.
Right.
BS.
She's the kind of woman BS. That would be like the first woman president in so many terms from now. She would be running. She's that person. Yeah. And she would just play her position. She's very strategic. Even though she's got the position now, she's just like Frank. It's like, okay, how am I going to make this work for me? What is the wisest thing for me to do that's going to help my situation? Is this going to be? Am I going to be on the winning side of this, or am I going to be on the losing side of this? It wasn't about loyalty at all.
And the key thing is, what's the win? Because I think that's why Claire and Frank, especially together, are so maniacal and so pragmatic, because even her potentially winning the first leg of the fight, it could mean she could lose her majority seat.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, because technically that would be in the public interest, right?
Yeah.
And the public interest is to do what's right.
Right.
But then they basically were like, oh, but you'd lose your majority seat.
Right.
So, and almost no matter what, this ship is sinking. So do you want to sink in terms of losing your seat, or do you want to lose your seat but come over with us?
Right. I think it was interesting how when Claire withdrew the bill, she was like, what are you guys up to?
it comes with a price.
Right. It's like obvious because of how they operate. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you come in, you have a very firm stance on this bill and supporting it, and say, I hope you change your mind. And she says, no, well, I hope you change yours. Mm-hmm. Leave the office. Then send your vice president husband to come and slap me around with his power, you know, in the office. And throw a personal punch in there below the belt, kind of sort of, just to let me know that, yeah, I know about all your business kind of thing. And now you're withdrawing the bill?
Well, it was genius because... You know, Jackie has to wonder. They don't want their name out there. They don't want any press to catch, you know, the scandal of what's going on. You know, Claire's still fighting the bill. They don't want anything, even in the House, for anything to be mentioned about the vice president or the vice president's wife supporting a bill that she's arguing against the majority whip. So... You know, taking their name, I don't think Claire did it for...
Oh, you mean with as far as Garrett and First Lady?
Yes, because they, you know, if their name is nowhere in the House or nowhere in the media, in the public eye, then they're concentrating more on Walker, and that's why she withdrew the bill. I don't think she withdrew it so that way she could have Jackie's support for what they were going to do. Or, you know, having her come on board with them, she just withdrew it because they don't need any public attention from anyone right now.
I think that's a great point, but I think it is partly to bring Jackie on board because I feel like you could sense that Claire was sacrificing something.
Right.
And I feel like Claire's always the one to sacrifice. So I completely agree with you, but I do think that they had to offer something to Jackie to basically draw her back in. They had to show that they were reasonable, or else theoretically there would have been no reason for Jackie to even come to their house. That's mm-hmm. why the minute Jackie walks in, Jackie immediately goes, "Oh, I thought I was here to," and then she goes, "Oh." But think about it. Right. If they hadn't pulled it back, again, they were at a stalemate.
Right.
But so there was no conversation. By literally pulling back the bill, it says, "Oh, I'm open to talk. I hear you."
Right.
So but then I go, "Do, do, 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 do."
Right. But if you think about it, the bill is still going to get passed anyway. And that's something that Claire headed up. So it's not like Claire is really sacrificing anything. All they're going to do is they're going to go back to the table, maybe change some of the verbiage, and make Jackie feel like she was more a part of creating this bill, mm-hmm. and then they're going to pass it.
True.
That's it. And it'll still be the bill that Claire headed up. It's not like it's getting scrapped altogether.
However, there's a little part of me that being Claire, the alpha that she is.
But Jackie's alpha too.
But wait, this is my point.
Uh-huh.
Jackie called her a coward on national television.
That's why she realized. She is the majority whip.
She holds a position that Frank used to hold.
Right.
Calling her a coward on national television.
Right.
And Claire didn't respond. She hasn't responded publicly and she hasn't responded privately. And how did she respond? She goes, "Okay, you're right. I withdraw my bill." That, to me, no matter what the master plan is, must have emotionally mm-hmm. been hard for Claire to do. For someone who, at the moment, I cannot decide whether or not Claire respects her or not. I know that Claire knows that they need her. I'm not quite sure where at that moment. I'm going to change my mind literally 5 minutes later into the episode. Do you know what I mean? But at that moment, I was like, no, I think she's doing it for the greater goal. But I feel like she had to eat it.
She did a little bit.
But the bill compared to what they're going through, you know, her husband potentially going to jail. She really doesn't care about the bill at this point. She cares more about her husband not going to jail and getting to what their end goal is.
I agree with you, but I feel like at that point, jail wasn't on the horizon yet. I don't think they were that pushed in the corner yet.
No, I could be wrong.
Do you know what I mean? I could be wrong, but I think it was later on came to play.
Talking about it, because she goes to see the president's wife after, and you know they mentioned Fang and the whole asylum, and she says, "Oh, did you find out about Durant? How she went basically behind the president's back?" So they know that there is a possibility. There is a possibility because Tusk has to testify, and even though they think he's going to plead the fifth, they don't know what's going to happen. So if, what's her name? Jackie is calling her a coward on national television. She has to withdraw. She can't engage in it. That's going to take them.
That's not my point. My point is, do you think, though, that it hurt her? That's my point. Personally, my point isn't that's the only move she had to play. Is it affecting her? And technically, let's look for a quick second at, to me, what she's had to sacrifice versus what Frank has had to sacrifice. Frank doesn't really seem like he sacrifices that much. Claire, on the other hand, seems like the one who really is, per se, like the soldier. And if anything, to make an analogy, she's the Marines. She's the first line of defense.
Right.
She's the one who literally actually puts herself in the mix and literally takes the blows.
Right.
I'm going to say no, just because this is a very small issue for her to be worrying about. And the only reason this bill came about was because she covered up her story of having the abortions. So she had to do something that looked like...
But at the end of the day, though, and I think we keep forgetting this, no matter what, she was, in fact, assaulted, number one. Number two, again, they don't waste scenes. For her to have that scene with Frank to basically say that she had to... That the Claire that got raped, that she had to strangle her, and every time she kind of starts to rear her little head, mm-hmm. she strangles her again, is extremely important. So I think that once she basically brought it to the light of day, even though there was a lie surrounding it, I really think that it was something that was important to her. And I think that's why she kind of got so... There's moments that she got animated and she has to kind of pull herself back in. And we'll get to a little bit more kind of where conversation with Megan... Or no, not even. It's this episode. I was getting confused.
Right.
That's why she goes at Megan so hard.
Right.
Because to me, Megan represents that Claire who was raped.
Right.
And how weak she is and how unstable and how whatever. And notice, she's probably the only person that we've seen Claire physically assault when she banged her up against the wall.
But she did it in a very emotional way, mm-hmm. because I think it was like, that's that other half of her that she suppresses. And it's like, no, you have to do this because it's like you or me, exactly. to a certain degree. And even though they experience the same thing with the same person,
yep.
She's the old Claire, so to speak. So just really quickly, we're going to wrap up here shortly, but I want to ask a quick question. Do you guys think, or who thought, that Lisa was about to die when Stamper rolled up on her in a parking lot and the car didn't work?
Oh, totally.
Did you guys think?
Yeah. I thought her car was going to blow up.
I immediately thought, snip, snip. I thought it was going to be like the sniper, like the silencer.
I don't know how, but I agree with you.
That's what I totally thought. I thought he was going to walk up on her.
I totally agree with you.
Hit. It was going to be like a hit, and he was going to... It was going to be done.
Let us know out there, what did you think? Did you think that Lisa was done for when Stamper obviously fixed her battery? Let us know by going to iTunes.com, and you simply just go to AfterBuzz TV, House of Cards, and what you can do is you can rate, comment, and subscribe. Again, iTunes.com, AfterBuzz TV, House of Cards. All of our podcasts are available, and you can join the conversation by commenting. You can rate, if you like what we're talking about, 5 stars, as well as you can subscribe. And as always, tell a friend, because maybe they don't know that there's a podcast for Netflix original series House of Cards.
Yes. I thought she was about to lose her life. Poor Lisa. And then he said, get rid of her, and, you know. Yes.
Stamper is.
Stamper.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, that whole scenario. I think
and why?
That was just
because the president was like, you did a good job?
Yeah.
Think about it. That's what started it. When the president last episode was like, oh, you did a good job after he had been effing up, right. that's when he goes and that's when he realizes that, oh, Lisa's not her roommate.
Right.
Lisa's her girlfriend.
Right.
And he gets all bent out of shape and territorial. Get over yourself,
yeah.
dude. When you broke the phone, you did what you were supposed to do.
Yeah, you know.
And did you guys see any symbolism there when he comes in and introduces himself as Peter? Peter, Rachel, Russo, the whole thing. You know, it was kind of like telling Rachel, don't forget what you're
oh,
a part of.
No, I didn't catch
wow,
that.
Wow, I didn't catch
Whoa.
That either.
That's a great point.
That was good, Emma.
From all the yeah. names, Peter...
Yeah,
was,
no, I think it's
right.
a great point.
That's,
great point.
These writers are, you caught that. That's good. Okay, well, there will be, we have one more episode left
Woo!
In this heralding series, and there's a lot of things going on. I'm really, even though I've seen it already, excited to talk about what happens the finale of the second season of House of Cards, and I'm really irritated that it's not more episodes per season. I wish
or that we have to wait.
Oh, we
year.
Have to wait a year to get another
that's
13
so
episodes.
Dragging.
But
next year, I think I might slow it down, and I'm not going to binge. I'm going to pull it out. No, seriously,
really?
I mean, I have to. I can't do the withdrawal.
Yeah, I mean the writing is so good. You have to be like, okay, well, to come up with 13 episodes of that kind of brilliant genius script writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can give them a pass and wait
yeah.
a year. But the
well,
fact
good.
That I wait a year for 48 hours, because I watch everything in 48 hours.
yeah.
Like I watch the whole thing. Just
yeah.
like, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure a lot of everybody else out there does, too, because yeah. it's a really good show. So, anyway, until next time, where can we find you guys?
You guys can find me on GQJedi.com, Instagram, Twitter, at RealMK.
You can find me on Twitter, at Sophia Stanley.
And you can find me on GQJedi.com and Twitter and Instagram, at Club Thaddeus. Until next time, after buzzers.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.